Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Those words come from the gospel that we just heard. But they're also words that we say every single time we gather for Mass. So those are some pretty important words. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says to his apostles. What I ask you to picture today is this. I need you to picture Jesus saying those words to you. My peace I give to you. Those are not dead words said once to the apostles, forgotten and buried and left for dead. Try to picture this. The God of the universe, who holds all of creation in his hand, who came back from the dead for goodness sakes, who knows everything about your life in every last circumstance, he stands before you, looks you in the eye, and says, "My peace I give to you." Let's understand what that means. First thing to understand is that the peace Jesus gives is not the same thing as the peace this world gives. Not as the world gives peace, do I give peace to you, says the Lord. So how does the world give peace? What does that mean? I'll summarize it by saying this. The secular world thinks that peace is nothing more than a change of your external circumstances. Your external circumstances change with no internal change whatsoever. And they call that peace. It's very shallow. It's absolutely inadequate. So, you know, we gather for Mass and we pray the petitions after the gospel and we pray for things like, you know, for peace in Ukraine, for peace in the Middle East, for peace in Pakistan, for peace in India, for peace in Israel. Question for you today. What do we mean when we say that? What do we mean? Back in the days of the ancient Roman Empire, when they wanted to end a conflict, they signed a treaty, and the name of the treaty was a pax. P-A-X, pax. It's the Latin word for peace. And they signed their names to the treaty, and all the soldiers packed up their things, and they went home, and they called it peace. So imagine this. Imagine that all the most important people running all the countries of the world gather around a table, sign papers, declare peace, and all the soldiers pack up their weapons, everybody heads home. What happens? Well, a collective sigh of relief wells up from the souls of people all across the world, from pole to pole. They say, at last, it's peace. But is it peace? Only in a very shallow sense of the word. Because if all you change are external circumstances, if there's not justice, the only thing you succeed in doing is postponing an inevitable conflict. That was the problem with the end of World War I. They put away their guns for 20 years, but they didn't solve the internal problems, and they started fighting again. Because without something deeper, without a change inside, war continues to rage in the heart. The world offers you peace by a change of circumstances. And you want to know what? We think that in our own personal lives as well. If circumstances are going well, if my finances are good, if my health is good, if the kids are in good shape, I say, this is great. This is peace. But it's only peaceful as long as the circumstances remain well, unless you're changed inside. It's a very shallow definition of peace. Let me ask you to imagine this. Picture that I have in my hand a magic wand. And with that magic wand, I change all the troublesome circumstances of your life. I get rid of your mortgage. I get rid of your student debts. I lower your taxes. I solve the traffic problems. All your traffic lights turn green, and even your golf swing improves. Question for you. Have I brought you peace? For a very short while, I suppose, but you want to know what's interesting? Unless you're changed inside, a deep discontent is waiting to well up in relentless anger. You will discover stuff to be upset about. And that's why the peace this world offers is just not valuable. St. Augustine said, peace is the tranquility of order. It only happens when everything's in its right place. You know what that means? That's the whole of the spiritual life, so it's very hard to summarize. But it's God first, yourself, others second, and yourself third. Because honestly, does anybody here ever expect all the circumstances of their life to line up? I mean, does anybody really think that there will ever come a day where pole to pole, east to west, north to south, everybody's going to stop fighting, right? Everybody's going to put away their guns, and all the troubles are going to cease? Don't hold your breath. Trouble is not the exception in life. Trouble is the norm. Whatever we do to find peace, we better find peace within trouble. Because trouble is the norm. And our Lord even told us that. He says, listen, you're going to have trouble in this world. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Now, this is the peace that the Lord offers. When you take his word, put it in your heart, you live it, and you discover that all things are in their right place. And the great thing about this is we don't have to imagine what this is like. We can see this in the lives of the saints. They say that if you really put the Lord first in your life, three things happen. You become completely fearless, ridiculously happy, and constantly in trouble. That's the lives of the saints. That's, for example, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, who I'm sure most of you have heard of. If you haven't heard of Maximilian Kolbe, here's a long story, really short. A saint who died in the German concentration camps in the Second World War, who gave his life away because one of his fellow prisoners in camp was sentenced to death for nothing, for no crime whatsoever. And seeing the injustice of it, Father Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and said, I will die in his place if you let him live. Everybody's shocked, of course, but they let him live. And he was sent to the starvation bunkers, where they slam the door, you and your fellow prisoners, and just wait for you to starve to death. It's a horrible way to die. Would you believe that he was so peaceful, so joyful inside, he led his fellow prisoners in the starvation bunker, in the German concentration camp, in World War II, in hymns of praise to God. That's how they died. Totally annoyed the German guards. Couldn't get these prisoners to stop singing for joy. That's the peace the Lord gives. You see it in the life of St. Lawrence. Another one I hope, whose name I hope you know. St. Lawrence, Archdeacon of Rome, in the middle of the 3rd century AD, during some of the worst persecution in all of the history of the church, the Archdeacon of Rome, they caught him, right? Now, the deacon was in charge of the collection. So they said, before we sentence you to death, we want you to bring us the treasures of the church. Treasures of the church. From a church, as poor as a church mouse, they didn't even have a church building in those days. And he says, I'll be right back. Hold your horses. And he brings back the poor, the lame, the blind, the crippled, the widowed, the orphan, lines them all up before the Roman tribunal and says, here they are, the treasures of the church. And they were so mad at him for that, that they made his death even more painful. They were going to lop off his head with an axe. Instead, they decided to grill him to death over an open flame. And St. Lawrence was so joyful, was so peaceful, he was cracking jokes as he died. You might have heard this one before. He literally said, you can turn me over now, I'm done on that side. The worst circumstances, that's the peace the Lord gives. Or our own St. Thomas More, patron of our diocese, sentenced to death in the days of King Henry VIII of England because he refused to acknowledge the unlawful, illegitimate marriage of Henry VIII. And he was the second in command in all of England. And so they chopped off his head with an axe on Tower Hill in London. And as he was walking up to be decapitated, just try to picture the scene, he puts his head down on the executioner's block and he recognizes that his beard is within the line of the blade. turns to the executioner. He says, excuse me just a second. And he takes his beard, puts his beard out. He goes, you know, my beard has done no harm. It shouldn't be punished. Kraken jokes as he's dying. Talk about bad circumstances. They said, how do you feel, Sir Thomas? He says, I feel like a schoolboy going on holiday. See the peace the Lord offers? It's not like the world offers. There was a boy several years ago. It wasn't this parish. It's been several years now. And the boy's name was Andrew. He suffered almost all of his life trying to beat cancer. Radiation therapy, chemotherapy, poor little boy. All he did was suffer for his very few years. I think he died at the age of 8. And one day the doctors told his mother, they said, there's nothing more we can do. We've tried everything and there's nothing more we can do. I'm so sorry. And the mother tried to find a way to break the news to her son. And she went to her little boy and she says, Andrew, I'm so sorry. But I want you to understand, God has a plan in all of this. And the boy looked back at his mother, and with heroic calm in his voice, he said, Mom, this is the plan. And it's okay. God is with us, and we're going to make it. Behold the peace that only Jesus can give. 99 out of 100 of you come to this church here today filled with problems. And don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with praying for God. Sometimes God has favors as though hanging down on the from a string from heaven. And your prayers are like the sword that cuts them free, right? Things God wants to give you that he's only asking for your cooperation. Don't get me wrong, you pray to set wrong things right. Even Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he died. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass me by. Don't get me wrong. It's just that sometimes we have to understand God's perspective is greater than ours, his knowledge is greater than ours, and his love is greater than ours. And sometimes, despite of our requests for God to change the circumstances of our life, the most loving and knowledgeable answer is no. When that happens, you want to have in place the peace that only the Lord can give. And like I said, this is hard to summarize because it's the whole spiritual life. God first, others second, you third. Can I give you the bottom line of any healthy spiritual life? Stop putting yourself first. So much depends on that. The spiritual life just doesn't work until we learn that. Then we learn the peace that the saints had. Then we learn the peace that God wants to give. Something that I've said before, but I think it bears repeating. The Christian story is the only story in the world that you understand by reading backwards. We start with the end. We start with Jesus risen from the dead. Then we understand his sufferings and ours. Then we understand the peace that he wants to give us. But he asks us to listen, and he asks us to respond. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.